today on Real Radio.
Yes, in my strength and in your strength, it's impossible. It's got to be that way. But take that problem, take that temptation, take that attack, and put it next to God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Chapter 17 of 1 Samuel tells that famous story about Goliath and, of course, David. You may have learned that during your childhood, of course, but this is indeed no children's story. It's one of the many life and death struggles between Israel and its enemies. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson taken from 1 Samuel chapter 17 called Winning the Battles of Life.
You're trying to do this thing, and God's saying, we're not going to do that. And you go, yeah, we are. And you get an argument with God. Every day you're in an argument with him. You're not doing what he says, and you're fighting with God. And there's a war. And his hand is heavy on you. That's one of the great signs of being a believer. He will not let his children go away too far. And when they do, he disciplines them good. You belong to him. He will not give you up. You may give up on you. He will not give up. He will pursue you. He will keep you. And by the way, the Bible says the God who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And I happen to believe that's true regarding my soul. He will not sleep. He will not fall asleep on guard when it comes to my soul. Doesn't the Bible say that nothing will separate us from the love of God? And it says in there, in the fine print, nor any created thing. Are you created? I believe that I cannot separate myself from God. He's going to keep me with him. He's going to have my heart in his hand. I'm a created thing. And I want him to be the Lord of my life. And even when you're not walking with God, you still cannot. You cannot deny him. You wrestle with him. God will not give up ground. God had blessed Israel. But they're in this place of a battle. And they have a pretty formidable enemy before them, as we'll see in our studies about Goliath and all. But the devil is wicked. By the way, this area that we're talking about is about 20 miles. Listen carefully if you haven't been there. It's about 20 miles southwest of Jerusalem, south-southwest of Jerusalem. And the Valley of Elah personally reminds me of many of the meadow valleys of Lake Tahoe area. It's beautifully wooded with pine trees, green valleys, and the Valley of Elah is as it was thousands of years ago. It's the same today. In fact, it's one of the rare places in Israel you can go, and the creek bed has smooth, round stones. Israel does not have smooth stones, but they do right there. And by the way, when you're there, there's nothing there. In fact, when we go there, we reenact the Goliath deal. Was anybody with us on that one trip where we did that? Wasn't that fun? Yeah, Jeff, you were Goliath, weren't you? You were. It was great. He still bears the scar today. Look at his forehead. No, it's just beautiful. Beautiful area. You'd never think, oh, you know, Israel must be sand dunes. It looks like Lake Tahoe area. And so they're fighting. Isn't that just like the enemy to come into an area? Have you noticed? I don't want to get off the track. I'll just say this. Have you noticed in areas that are extremely beautiful nature-wise, it's always given over to weird satanic paganism? You'd be hiking down a trail in Yosemite. It's just so beautiful. And there's some nut sitting on a rock, naked, focusing on his navel, humming something. What are you doing? Why does it? It's almost like Satan wants to conquer these beautiful areas. Have you been... I hope nobody gets our teaching in Sedona, Arizona. Have you ever been to Sedona, Arizona? Is it not beautiful? It's absolutely, it's like a feast for your eyes. The mountains are so red, the sky is so blue, and the tree is so green. And look at this, it's so beautiful, we're just enjoying it. And some nut walks by with a pyramid on his head. And he's trying to find his harmonic convergence. What is this? Satan's not attacking the ghetto in our story. He's going after the choice area of Israel's life. How does that equate to us? Satan will go after the choice areas of our life. What is your joy? God has blessed you with it. Whatever it is. Maybe God uses you in your pen or in your voice or in your music or in your witness at work or your company or your whatever. Isn't that where he attacks? In the choice things? He's not stupid. He's wicked. The enemy. The conflict is over the possession of land or something more important. The ground that God has granted us in victory. Satan will try to take back ground that he has lost, and he'll try to do it through temptation and possessions and pride and power. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, you're going to want to jot this down and memorize it. Want to have it blazoned into your heart and mind. 1 Peter 5 verse 6 through 8 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's the first step. That he may exalt you in due time. Listen, anybody prone to worry? Listen to verse 7, 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting, the word in Greek is to heave, to throw it, to, as it were, catapult it. Catapult your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Somebody takes the position and they come in, as it were, to the land, and they're big and ugly and they're boasting big things against God. And what do? Somebody needs to do something. At least we should drop to our face and pray. But listen, Christian, behind everything in your life is a spiritual power, a spiritual purpose. And we need to think spiritually. It's something bigger than what we often see. In 1 Samuel 17, 16, it says, and the Philistines drew near and presented himself for 40 days, morning and night. That's Goliath. Supernatural events are in play. Even right now as we sit, supernatural events are in play. And so the Philistines are gathered together and Israel's gathered, and they're standing there in battle array, and yet there's no war. I believe that God wants us to advance forward in attack in the spiritual realm. Every time you pray, did you know that's not an offensive or that's not a defensive position? Do you know that when you pray? When you pray, that is an offensive attack. Did you know that? Maybe that's why we have such a hard time praying, huh? Maybe that's why prayer is so hard. When you intercede or you pick a topic and you just start, okay, Lord, I'm going to lift this thing up for 40 days. I'm going to lift this topic up before you. Man. Spiritual power is at play. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the spiritual or heavenly places. But the Bible says here that Saul and the men of Israel, they had gathered together, they were encamped, and they drew battle lines. And there's a danger to that, in my opinion. One of the things that a soldier or that a general is very leery about is calling his troops to arms too soon. Have you ever seen that perhaps in a movie and you're wondering, what are they waiting for? Why don't they just go march on? There's a moment when you should march. But if you call to battle too soon your troops and they're standing ready, you know, in fact, you know this. If you're going to shoot a rifle or a pistol, you need to pick it up and aim at the target and shoot. Don't sit there and think about it for a while. You want to know why? You start shaking. Either because you're nervous or because you're thinking about, oh, am I going to miss? Am I going to miss? Or your body gets tired. You don't call your men to battle array for 40 days and 40 nights and they're like this. There's a moment where it goes too far. In your life, God knows the exact moment when you and I should be advancing or holding our ground. God knows exactly when. Well, am I going to know? Probably not. But he knows. We're going to trust in our captain. We're going to trust in our general. But there's a danger. They're encamped. They're in battle array. And I'm afraid in many ways that the Christian church, by and large, is in battle array. They're talking about battle. I tell you what, isn't it amazing that the Christian church is suffering more damage in the way of doctrine and marriage and children and just aberrant theology. And yet, there are more Christian bookstores than ever in human history. There are more books on marriage, more books on finances. There are more books on children, more books on family relationships and church growth. Do you know that there's more books right now tonight on church growth than at any other time in human history? You think Jesus had a book on church growth? Let me see. How did they say to do it? No, he leaned on the Holy Spirit. Where to lean on the Holy Spirit? Well, if I can just get a book on how to reach my kids. Reach your kids. Don't reach your kids. Fall on your face for your kids. Pray for your kids. Well, I just can't get to them. Don't get to them. Fall on your face and talk to God. Seriously, I'm going to go get a book on rearing children. The Bible is a pretty good book. You see what I'm saying? I'm afraid that we're in battle array. Okay. Oh, here we go. And we're like this. For days, weeks, months, years. And we become almost, as it were, tin soldiers or petrified soldiers. Israel is here. They're trembling before the Philistines who have come into their land. And they were powerless because they had a powerless leader, by the way. Saul was defeated by this time. He had so grieved the Holy Spirit, God had anointed another man. By the way, as we'll see in following studies, this is an important thing. Who was the tallest guy on the Philistine army? Goliath. Who was the tallest guy in the Israeli army? Not a good thing. Who do we got around here that's taller than anybody else that can take on this giant? Saul was the only guy. The Bible says he was head and shoulders taller than anybody else. Oh, I bet he just kind of go, I don't know, keep looking. Kicks off his boots. Yeah, you guys find the tallest guy now. But as it were, Saul was judged already and found lacking, powerless. He's got all the armor, he's got all the troops, he's got all the organization, he's got all the church growth booklets, he's got all the conventions, he's got the conferences, he's got the posters, he's got the hotline. But he's got no power. The Holy Spirit had departed from Saul, as we shall see. And so that's a very sad and frightening thing. Awakening to the fact, verses 3 and 4, awakening to the fact that we're in a spiritual battle. Listen, it's a war, and there's nothing fair about it. Did you know that? The enemy does not fight fair. I remember as a kid growing up, did you guys do this? We played army all the time. Oh, we loved it. We had the real stuff. We had everything. The real gear. It was hilarious. But we would throw dirt clods at people. I mean, not people, at one another. Because if you got dirt on you and stuff like that, you know, we would check to see who died. If you had dirt on you, you were dead. But one of the things, you know, you'd be playing, and in those games, when you're throwing and shooting and all this stuff, time out, I got something in my eye. You could stand up and get something out of your eye. Okay, time in. Remember that? Satan never sleeps. Satan, wait. Time out. I got something in my eye. Satan goes, oh, good. And ping. He nails us. There's nothing fair in war. Sometimes I wonder, you think there's the Geneva Convention rules regarding war. We will fight fair. Okay, that only works if you have a really nice enemy. And if you have an enemy nice enough to obey the Geneva Convention war rules, he shouldn't be your enemy. When the English invaded us, remember what? They got all upset with us because the Indians taught us how to hide behind bushes and rocks. No, I'm serious. The English came out and they were in lines with red coats on. Shoot me first. And they would walk out there and they'd see the guy and then they'd load. Wait a minute, I'm not loaded yet. And they would get ready and then boom. Okay, and they file back. Okay, next guy forward. And it looked like a drill team out there. Boom. And they were doing this thing. And so we learned from the Indians and from the French. They said, hey, hide behind a rock. It drives the English crazy. And we got in trouble. They said, time out. We're going to meet with your leaders. You guys need to fight like gentlemen. That's what they said. This is cowardice, what you're doing, fighting behind rocks and dressing up with trees and stuff around you. It's wrong. It's wrong. Can you believe that? You think Satan's going, oh, you know what? Look at that Calvary Chapel. They've been praying so hard. They've been really doing it. I think I'm going to back off today. Not a chance. The enemy does not fight fair. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side and Israel on the other side. There's a valley between them. And a champion, verse 4, went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath. I wonder if he had a jersey on. Goliath from Gath, number 49. In war, nothing's fair. And notice how close the enemy is. He's closer than you think. The enemy. So close. Why do I bring that up? Because the distance in that valley, those of you who are there, I could literally be on one hill while a man is on the other side of the hill and you can converse back and forth with each other. That's how close it is. They heard everything. You could hear the metal clanking and the horses snorting and the scuffing of hoofs. It's that close. And there's a champion there. This one, Goliath. The word champion, by the way, is a very interesting word. A warrior, tyrant. I saw in a book reading this, a warrior, tyrant, terrorist of the Jewish, of the Israeli army. And boy, all of a sudden we mention the word terrorist and that gets our attention. A champion. He's a warrior. And he's standing there in this metallic suit on. The Bible tells us here in this chapter that he's got legs wrapped in brass. He's got a breastplate. He's got a coat of mail, a coat of armor, brass. He's got a helmet. He looks like a metallic monster of bronze. And he's standing there. He's huge. The enemy's not only not fighting fair, he's closer than we think. He'll come out after us, verse 4. The enemy will come out and find us, so we need to be ready. You can't be a Christian and be a spectator. And the enemy, by the way, is a ruthless foe. His name was Goliath from Gath. Goliath. If champion here means warrior, tyrant, or terrorist, the word Goliath means, interesting, a middleman. Some have translated it between two. Ancient scholars say that the name Goliath means that he's bigger than men, but not a god. He's between men. Interesting thought. His name also means, listen, this is powerful as a picture of Satan. Goliath also means one who has been exiled, one who does not have a country. Goliath means to be banished. The word means to be estranged from home. To be sent out. It also, Hebrew scholars say that it also suggests of one being a soothsayer. A soothsayer, someone who dabbles with evil spirits. Goliath was a freak in every way. A grotesque man. The Bible tells us in other passages of Scripture that he was one of several brothers, and of his kind it says that they had six fingers and six toes on each foot and hand. They were mutated weirdos, strange things. You can read more about that in Scripture, but some of the things I want you to consider behind the scenes, if Goliath is a type of Satan, if you think of him that way, isn't it interesting that Satan in the metal, bronze, or brass is symbolic in Scripture of judgment? What did Moses hold up on a staff out in the wilderness? A brass serpent. Speaking of judgment, Goliath is wrapped in brass. Of course, in his culture, that was for power. But in the culture that David comes from, that was for judgment. I wonder if David looked at him and said, the job's halfway done already. He's wrapped for judgment. I love the way David thought. And then thirdly, verses 4 through 7, we learn this. Awakening to the fact that we're in a spiritual battle is that the enemy has resources that we don't know of. It says, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 500 shekels of bronze. That's 200 pounds, U.S. pounds. 200 pounds of armor. And he had bronze greaves on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. That's 25 pounds. And a shield bearer or an armor bearer went before him. You know, the first thing I notice when I'm thinking about spiritual battle and thinking about just Goliath here in the flesh is I'm not very tall. He's a monster. Don't our problems look huge when we look at them through our eyes? Aren't they gigantic? Oh man, how am I going to get through this? And yet, our problems in comparison to God are nothing. See, we need to stop looking at our temptation, our problem, our difficulty, the sin that you might be in, or the great mountain of difficulty that's ahead of you, that quest that God has taken you upon, it's so huge, or this battle's so big. Yes, in my strength and in your strength, it's impossible. It's got to be that way. But take that problem, take that temptation, take that attack, and put it next to God. Verse 4 tells us that his height was 6 cubits and a span. 6.5 cubits. Now, we know from biblical archaeology that a cubit is anywhere from 18 to 22 inches. That's Shaquille O'Neal, 7'1". Yet he's not all that tall throughout history. You know that there was a man who died on July 15, 1940, at the age of 22, Robert Wardlow. He stood 8 feet 11 inches tall. You can go online to the Guinness World Book of Records and see actual photographs of him. And you got O'Neal here, who's only 7'1". You're only 7'1". Consider Goliath, who was at least 9'6" tall. Shaquille O'Neal would have come probably to about Goliath's armpit. Now, I don't know if you've seen these guys in real life, but when you see these guys in real life, it's not like it's real when you're standing there. They're bigger than life. Shaquille O'Neal's shoe is a 22 triple E. I've had a chance to see it. It's about that big. Like so. But he is a wee little guy compared to Goliath. See, we see this, we see our problems like this. And overwhelms us. Now, I want to encourage you tonight. We need to pit our problem before the Lord. Because too many of us are running around trying to take care of it on our own. We're all stressed out and wigged out about it. And we have to figure everything out. Haven't you learned by now that God will not let you figure everything out? He's not going to let it happen. He won't let you. Because if you could figure it out, you wouldn't need him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called Winning the Battles of Life. Winning the Battles of Life is actually a multi-part mini-series taken from our journey through 1 Samuel. It's, of course, the famous story of David and Goliath. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, it is Monday, and that means that tonight you can catch our television show called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. RealLifeWithJackHibbs.org. That's our new website. Visit us when you get a chance. RealLifeWithJackHibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.